Do not be afraid. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes. These words in today's gospel sound a whole lot like the parable of the wise and foolish maidens, which we usually read in Advent. Or the letter to the Hebrews, in which we hear only one example of an extended catalog of the iconic people in Jewish history. And the example we hear tells about a miraculous birth that is to come. Well, the miracle isn't actually the birth, but that there will be millions and millions of births, all from one impotent male. Granted that Abraham's rather argumentative, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus." It doesn't have quite the same ring to it as, "How can this be?" But that same trust and willingness to step out in faith is definitely there. That same trust and willingness that Mary expressed with, "Be it unto me according to your will." Despite the summer temperatures out there, in here with these readings, I think it's beginning to feel a whole lot like Advent, and maybe just a little bit, a whole lot like Christmas. Be ready. Watch. He is coming. Let him in. Trust. All the watchwords from the beginning of the church year are here, returning for a little bit of Christmas in July or early August. These words and stories are not just for that short 4-week period of Advent once a year, and then we can safely set them aside until the next liturgical season rolls around. Nor is Christianity a one-time confession that we make and then it's over and done with, and we can sit back, relax, and look forward to a life of ease for planning on a cloud with a harp on our hands. It's just not like that. In a sense, it's always Advent and Christmas with us. The King is coming, or at least the kingdom is coming, and we are the ones God has called to give hope, give birth to it. As Luke tells it, the kingdom of heaven is not so much about what happens to us after we die, but the world in which we live our lives right now. Luke's Jesus describes a kingdom, a way of living in which everybody has enough, because no one has so much, there's nothing left for others. Masters serve the slaves rather than the other way around. It's Luke's way of saying that in this kingdom, everyone is equal. And this kingdom wasn't going to come into being because God's fingers snapped and it just sprang into being. Luke and Jesus know perfectly well that if it's going to come into being, it was because people helped make it happen. They began to live differently. Some read or heard the scriptures read in synagogue, some heard Jesus preach, some were like the woman at the well who experienced in her own life what this man's radical vision felt like, and then went out and told people, and acted and lived in a new way. And those, I think, are the real Christmas stories. Christmas didn't end with the birth of the infant Jesus, but continued when the followers came to the conclusion and were able to say, "You are the Christ." The earliest disciples didn't follow Jesus because he was born of a virgin, because they knew of his miraculous birth. It was only after they'd been with him, lived with him, listened to him, experienced the presence and power of God within him. Only then could they make him their king. The real manger, rather than resting in a lowly stable, has the potential to be found inside each one of us, residing in our human heart. The real manger holding the Messiah is where we who have resources, whether that's money, time, skill, knowledge, it happens when we give those away with abandon to the people who are vulnerable, people who are not in a majority group, people who are refugees, people who lack worldly power, who the scriptures refer to as the widows and orphans. The real manger upholds the King when we give out of our resources so that others might have power or enough to eat or respect and human dignity, so that the vulnerable might have life and live in the kingdom of heaven where, God willing, we might just serve with them. That is where the Christ of Christmas is known to be real and true. not where Jesus lives in a manger with a special star overhead. That doesn't mean that what happened in Bethlehem is any less true than the other events in Jesus' life. But the birth of Jesus, whatever else God had in mind for that event, the birth of Jesus was about bringing us into a new way of living life, in which we work together with each other and with God, so that others may have life and bring to earth the kingdom of God. When we help out with this new creation, whether we stand up at school or in the workplace to some bully's target, or bring laundry detergent to a parish that will donate it to the local food bank, or help build a house with Habitat for Humanity, when we give of ourselves to help make the kingdom of God on earth real for others and present, then we bask in the glow of that light of the star over Bethlehem. We know the awe and wonder and praise of every Christmas day. And we help make God's ultimate love real, God's whole-making power to defeat sin and death, and all because we surrendered some part of our lives in faith and stepped out to the Holy One whom the shepherds adored. Then we too join with the heavenly chorus, singing glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom he favors.